Lord be with you. A reading from the Holy Gospel according to Luke. Someone in the crowd said to Jesus, "Teacher, tell my brother to divide the family inheritance with me." But Jesus said to him, "Friend, who set me to be a judge or arbitrator over you?" And Jesus said to the crowd, "Take care. Be on your guard against all kinds of greed. For one's life does not consist in the abundance of possessions." And Jesus told them a parable. The land of a rich man produced abundantly, and he thought to himself, "What should I do, for I have no place to store my crops?" Then he said, "I will do this. I'll pull down my barns and build larger ones. And there I will store all my grain and my goods. And I will say to my soul, 'Soul, you have ample goods laid up for many years. Relax, eat, drink, be merry.' But God said to him, 'You fool, this very night your life is being demanded of you. And the things you have prepared, whose will they be?' So it is with those who store up treasures for themselves, but are not rich toward God." The Gospel of the Lord. So I just returned midweek from a two-week vacation, and it was a wonderful time. I've been going up to our community cottage in the Gatineaus, less than an hour drive from here, and it's just a beautiful, tranquil, quiet spot on a nice small lake, and the weather this year was hot and sunny and great, perfect cottage weather. Not so much good church weather, right? Especially a few weeks ago when we had that heat wave. So I feel, again, very rested and very good shape. I've recovered very well from the surgery. Thank you once again for all the prayers and support, and I really trusting the Lord that everything is going to be green lights from here on in, but I'll have to regularly check up with the doctor to see that, maintain everything there with blood tests and all that. But anyways, I feel very rested. It's good to be back, and now Father Lawrence is away for a week of vacation himself this week in Toronto. The gospel today is a very strong challenge of Jesus. And again, he's challenging all of us with this gospel message against the temptation towards greed. But, you know, greed is a word we don't use that commonly today unless someone's a really, really greedy person. But you could say our whole culture is based on greed. Our whole economy, the Western world, we have by far the greatest amount of money and wealth in the world compared to the rest of the world, and we consume most of the resources in the world. So there's a kind of an imbalance there in terms of the global economic situation. And we need to recognize and be challenged by that fact that we might not be explicitly greedy, but we do live in a very materialistic culture that values money, possessions, buying, acquiring, owning, and we can all be tempted in that, always tempted towards the newest toy, gadget, equipment, or for the women among us, clothes, makeup, whatever it is, right? And it's funny, some people struggle with buying too much clothes, some people struggle with spending too much money on this or that, but many of us do spend money and we're always acquiring things, and after a while, especially when you move, you realize, oh my God, where did all this stuff come from, right? So it's not just greed in that extreme sense, but materialism and a focus on this world only. That's what Jesus is challenging us. This man had been, you know, was a wealthy man, but instead of sharing that wealth, instead of, you know, seeing how he could serve God with it, all he could think of was, well, I got all this stuff, so what do I need? I need bigger barns to store it. In fact, actually, as an aside, have you ever noticed the storage industry now? What's it called? They're building them all over the place. Why? Because people got so much stuff now, they're even renting storage facilities to store it because they can't even hold it in their three-car garages and their basements. So anyways, it's a sign of the times. And I mean, I'm part of that too. I find after a while, my gosh, I've got too much stuff, you know, So again, the Lord is challenging us to a greater simplicity and a greater detachment to the things of this world. So it's not just greed in extreme forms, it's also materialism and just that kind of worldliness. You know, St. Paul in the second reading today puts it very clearly. He says, set your minds on things above, not on things below. And put to death whatever in you is earthly. And then he mentions fornication, impurity, passion, evil desire, greed, idolatry. All of these, again, so the Lord is addressing that whole tendency. You could say the deeper issue is losing our perspective on what this life is all about. It's not just about buying and selling and owning and possessing and consuming and just pleasure and comfort and more and busyness and activity and all that. And some of that we have to do, right? But it's not just that. That's not the purpose of our lives. The purpose of our lives is the glory of God. The purpose of our lives is the kingdom of God. And having that kingdom established first in our own hearts and then in our families, in our society, in our world. The purpose of our life is to therefore keep our eyes fixed on Jesus, as the letter to the Hebrews says. Keep our eyes fixed on the Lord, on His kingdom. Jesus in the Sermon on the Mount says it very clearly. Seek ye first the kingdom of God and His righteousness. And all these other human needs that you have will be taken care of. Because one of the problems, again, of the temptations, it's not just greediness or selfishness or preoccupation with the world that can get us caught up in too much possessions and all that. It's also insecurity. Sometimes we're just so insecure that we accumulate more because we find our security in our bank accounts or in what we own, and we feel, you know. So again, Jesus in that beautiful Sermon on the Mount in Matthew, he says, consider the lilies of the fields. They neither toil nor spin, yet your heavenly Father clothes them so beautifully. And consider the birds of the air. They neither sow nor reap, yet their heavenly Father feeds them. Are you not worth more than they are? Therefore, do not worry about your life, what you are to eat and drink. Your heavenly Father knows you need all these things. But seek ye first the kingdom of God and His righteousness. And that's the message throughout the readings today. All three of the readings consistently. Now, the first reading is a very interesting reading. The book of Ecclesiastes is one of the shortest books in the Old Testament. If you're new to the Bible and you start flipping through, you'll probably miss it because it's only about 5 pages long. And yet, it's a profound book because what it basically has is one message, and we heard it today summed up. And that is, from the perspective of life without an eternal destiny, an eternal life, and a God, without that perspective, it's all vanity. Vanity of vanity, says the teacher. Vanity of vanities, all is vanity. Think of again the man in today's gospel. At the end of his life, after accumulating all this wealth and building bigger barns, and then he dies. What a waste. What a sad vanity. And vanity in that sense is emptiness, valuelessness. There's also the kind of vanity where we're overly concerned about our appearance. That's a different. But this vanity means it's empty, it's useless, it's worthless, it has no value in the eyes of God and in the eyes of eternity. That's not what we were created for, brothers and sisters. We were created to seek the Lord, to seek the glory of God. Actually, the motto of St. Ignatius of Loyola, the founder of the Jesuits, and our own Holy Father today is a Jesuit, is for the greater glory of God. Everything I do, everything in my life, that's how I discern, that's what I pursue. Is this going to increase the glory of God in some way? Now, the glory of God also includes our human fulfillment. St. Ignatius, a different St. Ignatius of Antioch in the early church, said, the glory of God is man alive. In other words, God's glory is also manifested when our humanity comes to a fruition. And Jesus himself said that, I have come that you may have life and have it abundantly after you die. No, he didn't say that. I have come that you may have life and have it abundantly, even me here and now. But what is the source of abundant life? Where do we find real joy and happiness and peace of mind? Do we find it in pursuing wealth and pleasure and things and possessions and sensuality? No, that will always lead us to a certain restlessness and dissatisfaction, even though some of that is okay in itself, it's part of our human nature. God doesn't say we can't enjoy the good things of this earth, but to make it the pursuit, the goal, instead of the kingdom of God, the glory of God, that's when we get into trouble. And that's the challenge of today's gospel. So let us, brothers and sisters, learn to cultivate. And what does it mean? I mean, that could be like a whole other homily, but very quickly, to set our minds on things above rather than things below. It means on the spiritual world, the spiritual reality, the kingdom of God, Jesus himself, rather than worldliness and worldly concerns. And how do we do that? Well, we do that by practicing our faith. You're doing that right now. Praise the Lord you're here, because coming to church on Sunday is one of the primary ways that we do that. And that's the absolute, absolute minimum that we come once a week, or that we spend once a week in prayer. Ideally, we should be praying every day, and not just a 30-second prayer, but grounding our day in a prayer time that helps us to raise our mind and heart to God, which is what a definition of prayer is, the raising of the mind and heart to God, just like St. Paul says, set your minds on things above, not on things below. It's like our fallen nature, the sinful nature and the sinful world that we're in, it's like a gravitational force. It's always trying to pull us down. It's always trying to trip us up. That's why we talk about falling into sin, right? But there's like this this pull on our nature. And so we have to make extra effort to raise our mind and heart to God, to read and ponder his word, which contains spiritual reality, spiritual truth, to foster our relationship with God, who is the source of our lives, to practice the presence of God throughout the day, to read good spiritual nourishment, to watch good spiritual movies from time to time, religious movies or religious television, to foster personal devotions, the praying of the rosary, Eucharistic adoration. The chapel is finished. It's open. It's beautiful. Don't leave the church today until you at least pop in to see it if you haven't. The brand new adoration chapel, which has been under renovation for about 3 months, it is so beautiful and inspiring and wonderful, too, if you can come and make a visit there, even weekly, to spend an hour, as Jesus said in the Garden of Gethsemane, could you not watch and pray with me 1 hour? To do that is, again, a way of coming out of the worldliness and the busyness and the hecticness and the distractions of this world, and to gaze on God. Prayer, one of the definitions of prayer, which I love, is looking at Jesus, looking at me. And in adoration, that's what we do. We're gazing upon the Lord who's gazing upon us. And we learn in that silence and in that solitude. And by the way, that's another way we can foster this otherworldly dimension, the spiritual dimension, is to find times of silence and solitude in our lives. And there's something, again, the gravitational pull that makes it, we don't like to do that. We don't like to sit still. We don't like to be alone. Some of us do, that's great. But especially the extroverts, we have to make an extra effort at that. That's why I loved my summer vacation. Most of it was alone, and I love that quiet and silence. I felt it restoring my spirit because I have a tendency, like all of us, to get busy and preoccupied, you know, and lose my eternal perspective. That's what Jesus is really calling us to, have that eternal perspective, be in continual contact. But St. Paul says, pray continually. How can you do that? It just means to never lose touch of that spiritual dimension, which is part of this life and the most important part. Because it's through that connection with the Lord that everything else will find its proper balance. And God will. Obviously, we have to live our lives. We have to work. We have to do things. We have to be active. And the Lord, but the Lord says, as long as you keep your eyes fixed on me, I'll take care of the rest. So brothers and sisters, it's a beautiful challenge today. And Jesus really is challenging us not to make our life more miserable. He's challenging us to make our life more peaceful, more joyful, more fulfilling. The world, the gospel of the world, to a large degree, is an illusion, a delusion, a lie. What it promises us, what it tries to seduce us to do, think of advertisement, right? To create these needs and desires. It's not true. Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life. We need to listen to his word and do what he says. So let us pray for that grace today as we celebrate this Eucharist.